time to awaken to your ultimate potential.
It's exciting to be joining you on our third season of the Live Greatly podcast. In case you're new to the show, I'm Crystal Bauer, a wellness expert on a mission to help you thrive personally and professionally. If you're ready to thrive, I invite you to subscribe and follow season three, because each week I'm sharing conversations with incredible individuals about life, wellness, and success. Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast.
People are a lot of time pretty like surprised to hear that I still design every single garment, which is crazy, but I actually love designing. And so I really set aside time where I'm not, because I'm running the company, I'm the president of the company, but I also design every single thing.
I'm incredibly excited to have Paige Makowski here today. She's the founder and creative visionary behind the 1970s inspired California lifestyle brand, Aviator Nation. So I've been seeing their clothing all over the place. And I was so excited to sit down with Paige to hear the backstory and how she has built such a unique brand. So Paige is going to share how she got started with Aviator Nation. It's an incredible story. She's also going to talk about how she boosts creativity, how she's navigated the stress of being a founder. She's also going to share her take on company culture and her leadership style. She's taken such a unique approach to building her brand, and I'm really excited for her to share that with you. I was sent a complimentary Aviator Nation sweatshirt before I recorded with Paige. And I have to say that the sweatshirt is incredibly comfortable and the color is super fun. I'm really excited for you to hear Paige's story and for her to share some inspiring words. Let's jump into it and welcome Paige to the show. Paige, thank you so much for joining me today. Really, really excited to have you here.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Of course. So I was sharing with you how I got introduced to your brand from my daughter. And I feel like everybody, all the kids her age are loving Aviator Nation, are wearing Aviator Nation. I'm seeing it all over the place and I'm hearing about how soft it is. And I was just so intrigued by you and by how you've created this. And I'm so happy that you're here so we can kind of dive into the backstory. So to start for those listening, I would love for you just to share a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit of the backstory that got you to where you are today.
Yeah, I mean, it really started with a personal passion that I had for being comfortable and just, you know, colorful clothing. And I, you know, ever since I was little, I was pretty specific about what I would wear. And one of the big things was, you know, I liked to kind of stand out. I liked bold clothing. And I like stuff that nobody had, you know. And so I think that, you know, when I started, essentially, I was working a few different jobs. I grew up working a lot of jobs. I always liked to stay busy and I enjoyed working. And so at the time when I started Aviator Nation, I was actually working in a surf shop. So I was in like a small retail environment and I love that environment. I love retail. The surf shop was particularly fun because it was like a family owned thing. And so we were all close and it was a small business. So I really was able to kind of experience that. But I basically bought a sewing machine one day because I just had some ideas of things that I wanted to make. You know, I didn't go to school for fashion. I actually went to school for journalism.
Wow.
Oddly enough. Yeah, I went to school for journalism and then I ended up minoring in photography. And then when I got to school, I was at Arizona State University, grew up in Texas, actually.
Okay.
But I thought that I wanted to like have a magazine or something. I was really into like the visual elements of fashion and stuff. And then I started getting into photography in college and realized how much I loved photography and telling a story kind of through photography. And then I started playing around with design programs. And so I always had this like creative thing in the back of my head, but I think I loved fashion so much that, you know, when I moved to California, I got a job at the surf shop. I was doing photography on the side. So I was still doing that, but I really loved, you know, being surrounded by clothes and
I was
a buyer's assistant. So I got to always look through the catalogs of what was coming out. And, I think being in that environment, you know, you realize all the time, like what you would change about things. And I constantly found myself looking at clothes being like, oh, like I like this, but I wish this color was different or I wish this fit was different or, you know, I was really into the details. And so one day I just bought a sewing machine because I had an idea of like a sweatshirt that I wanted to make. And so I bought a sewing machine and just taught myself to sew. You know, back then it was more books than online. And so I bought a bunch of books on sewing and then once I realized that I could make my own clothes, it was like this amazing world opened up to me. And I realized how crazy I was about it. Like I was so passionate that I really became just obsessed. And I remember like getting home from work, like a normal shift, and then literally going to my garage and just staying up all night making a garment that I like had in my head.
So cool.
And so, yeah, I think that, you know, I really just kind of fell into my passion by making stuff for myself. And then I would wear the clothes, you know, that I was making around town. And I was living in Venice, California at the time. And so I would go to work at the surf shop or walk around. And like, I just kept getting stopped. People would come up to me and be like, what are you wearing? What is that sweater? What are you wearing? And so after a while, I just thought to myself, this is crazy. Like, I feel like I could sell what I'm wearing, you know? And there was a street fair coming up, the Abbot Kinney Festival in Venice, California. They still have it today. But anyway, that was coming up and it was like $500 to get a booth there. And so I got a booth and I spent like a couple months leading up to it, just making as much as I could.
Yeah.
And so I like actually like handmade all of the clothing from scratch that were sold in that booth. And that was the first time that I sold it at the street fair. I made $8,500 in one day.
Wow.
And I realized, wow, like this is legit, you know, this is like covering my rent for the next few months. And, you know, so I just like realized that it was a real thing, that people actually loved it. And the way they responded to it, you know, people came in my little booth and they were just obsessed with it. And it was expensive even then because, you know, I timed myself on how long it took me to make the garment. And then I was like, okay, so I should be paid this much per hour. And then the materials, and that's how I came up with the price. And it was expensive, you know? And so right off the bat, you know, I probably charged like $150 for a hoodie and people bought it and they didn't balk an eye. Yeah. And it was because, you know, like I was literally making it from scratch and you could tell it was handmade back then. You know, like the fit was a little bit off or whatever, but people loved it. And so anyway, that was it. That was the beginning. And after that day, I just pretty much was like, I want to do this, you know? And, the rest is
so cool.
Yeah.
So when did you leave? Well, were you working in the surf shop still when you did this?
Yeah. Okay. I was working at the surf shop until after that day, then I decided that it was time to focus on that. And I had money to like hold me over. So
got it. Okay. Good about it.
Yeah. Got and then it. At that point, I went on to do a trade show a few months later. And that was my first big time to sell it. And I basically invested a lot of that money into the trade show booth, which was in Las Vegas. And I think the booth cost was like around $5,000. It was like significant.
Yeah.
And so I took kind of a risk and I went out there and did the trade show. And then I wrote $150,000 in orders at the trade show. So then I was like, okay, I like crushed the trade show. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I'm like blown away by this story, going from, you know, making your own, trying it out, to going to this trade show and just totally knocking it out of the park.
I mean, people like came into my little booth and they wanted everything and they wanted a lot of it. And booths around me were like dead, you know? I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to a trade show, but it's like, you know, like it's like people are kind of sprinkling around in the booths, but like my booth was like a popping like thing.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And so anyway, it was cool because I just realized that not only just people on the street, but people in the fashion world. And then GQ did a story on me at the trade show and like, you know, stuff just kind of all of a sudden it was like, boom, everybody loved it. And so I realized I had a real business on my hands, and that was when like that pressure was on to figure it out.
So then you don't have a traditional like business training, right? Like you didn't go to school, right? Because you said journalism. So then how did you navigate that next stage? Because that's a lot. Like you obviously you're like, I've got an amazing product people want, But yeah. Like, what were your next steps? Did you get people to come on board that kind of knew more of that? Or did you figure it out on your own? Did you make a lot of mistakes along the way? Like, I would just love to hear a little bit about that process, getting you to where you are today without having that like official, I shouldn't even say official, because I think you learning as you go is official, but not having the schooling to help you navigate.
Yeah, totally. I think that there were a few kind of core values that I had in my head. You know, one thing was that I always wanted to be authentic. And that's kind of, you know, how I've always lived my life is just being very real and being authentic. And so, I mean, you know, the brand was a representation of things that I loved and what I love to do. So I think that, you know, I didn't want to spend a lot of money on marketing and advertising because I wanted it to be super authentic. I wanted people to discover it and really fall in love with it. I wanted it to be in the stores that I felt like it really fit best. So I did, you know, and I love to shop and I knew all the best stores because even though I wasn't like someone that was had a lot of money at the time, you know, I still love to go to the nice stores. And and so, you know, there was a store called Fred Siegel in Santa Monica that was my favorite store. And so that was one of the very first store. That was the very first store that I actually got into because I I knew that if I could get in that store, then other people would carry it because they all look, you know, like the best. And it's like, it's kind of like if you make the product really good and you put it in the best store, then everything else will kind of fall into place. And that was like my theory was to really make sure the quality of the product was good and to try to get it into like, you know, the best stores. And so Fred Siegel was kind of my first store that I went door to door. I basically went to them and I walked in and I was like, look, I live down the street. I made this outfit. Of course, I was wearing it. Mm-hmm. And long story short, they ended up bringing me in, buying everything. Like it was crazy. And like, they're the kind of store that would take a chance on a new designer because they're all about being like the first to have stuff, you know?
And then
it kind of, you know, it became the strategy of like, okay, like I would go to a neighborhood and be like, look, like I would choose the best store and I would walk in the door. I mean, I was literally driving around up and down the coast of California, walking in the stores that I thought were the best. And I was like, look, Fred Siegel just picked it up. I make these clothes super comfortable. Like if you don't buy it, I'm going to sell it to someone else, but this is your chance. Cause I'm, you know, like this is your chance to be the one that has it.
Yeah.
Because if I sell it to the other store down the street, you're not going to get it. So like it makes sense, you know? And basically, you know, most of the stores that I loved, you know, loved it probably because I love those stores and this is a clothes that I wanted to wear. And so that was kind of my thinking is like go door to door and literally just try to have a one-on-one conversation with whoever the buyer was or somebody that mattered at the store that could place the order. And so I did that. I say that's pretty much that in this trade show was really kind of how I got into stores. And then other than that, I didn't spend a lot of money on marketing and advertising at all. I really felt like word of mouth was stronger. And I also knew that like I wanted it to be a slow growth because, you know, I always think that like if you try to kind of be everything for everyone and make a ton of product right off the bat, like you could get stuck with something. So I made like limited quantities of different things so that I would never get stuck with anything. And I could also learn, you know, what was working and what wasn't. So that was another thing. I mean, I basically to figure out how to make the clothes because obviously I couldn't make them all myself.
Yeah.
I ended up going downtown in LA and I literally would walk in factories. Like I knew where factories were and I would just peek in and like I found factories that I thought looked nice. Like they knew what they were doing. And I would take a garment in and be like, hey, can I talk to someone that's running this?
Yeah.
And I would just be like, look, I made this, like, I need to make like, you know, hundreds of these, like, can you help me? And really, to be honest, almost everybody shot me down. It was really funny. And finally, there was this embroidery shop that focused on, you know, just embroidery, like detail work. And they did, you know, like costume stuff and a lot of detail. And they liked it because my stuff was a lot more detailed. I mean, in LA, most garments that are being made are super basic. It's like basic t-shirts, you know, super basic denim. There's like a lot of denim in LA, but there's not a lot of clothes being made in LA that are aside from just like basic t-shirts. And so my stuff, you know, had like the stitch work and the rainbow in the hood and the rainbow on the chest. And it was all a lot of single needle stitch work. And people didn't have those machines because, I mean, nobody was doing that. They had the overlock and the cover stitch, which is like how you put the garment together, but they couldn't do all the detail work. And so the embroidery shop, once I found them, it was really helpful because they just liked me, I think. And, you know, we had this relationship and they basically made the clothes for a while until I ended up having my own factory and stuff like that. But it was really a hustle. I mean, I think that I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that I wanted to make the clothes and I was not going to stop until I found somebody to help me. And then I just really tried to stay authentic, you know, to myself and the stores that I thought it should be in. I never sold to a store that I didn't think was a good representation of the brand. You know, and then, you know, after that, it was just like, you know, hiring people and stuff to help. I mean, with hiring people, I've always tried to hire people that I want to hang out with. I'm like, my theory is, you know, you spend most of your time working. And you should be surrounded by people that you enjoy. So when I recruited people and I interviewed people, it was all about like trying to find people that had similar interests, you know, like they surf or skateboard or something like similar to what I was into and, you know, and they were into music or whatever. And then I'm like, okay, we'll figure everything out. As long as you're like a cool person that I want to hang out with, you know, like it was really more about not even being like a cool person, but more about like having a good attitude. You know, I love people that have positive attitude and obviously people that are doing stuff and enjoying their life, like usually have a more positive attitude. Yeah. So, you know, like I found people that were doing things similar to me that I enjoyed being around and that made the whole work environment more fun. And really was the beginning of our culture, you know, in the company, which now, you know, I still think is one of the biggest assets that I have is an incredible team and a great culture. So I think that those are kind of the key things that, you know,
basically. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were basically creating like the lifestyle of the brand and the culture of the company and surrounding yourself with people you are excited to be around. And hopefully, you know, everybody's getting along and then that creates more creativity and fun and positivity. I absolutely love it. So how many employees, how many people are part of the company now?
So now we have over 400 employees.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. Ooh. We have technically 17 retail locations. One of them, Nashville, is under construction. So we have 16 and Nashville that's coming. So we have quite a few retail employees and then we have a huge factory. We have about, I want to say 85,000 square feet now that's south of downtown. We keep taking on the buildings around us. So we started with a small space. I think our first space was 5,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And now we're up to 85,000 and we have a full fulfillment center. We do vertical operations. So we make all the clothes, we fulfill the orders, all of it happens, you know, in one building, which is pretty cool.
Amazing. And it's local.
Like it's all local. It's all made in America. Yeah. And California specifically, which, you know, it obviously is another reason the garments get expensive too, because it's definitely expensive to do it that way. But it just, you know, I always thought that the quality was the most important. And when you can be close to the quality, which really is impossible if you're producing overseas, unless, you know, you have a full team there and, you know, I wouldn't be so close to the quality myself. And, you know, so anyway, there's a lot of reasons that I believe Made in America is the way to go. But we still do everything here.
I love it. Okay. So I'm curious now that you have grown and your presence has grown, your business has grown. How do you feel like you've changed? Like, how has that impacted you? I've talked with different people about like how success has impacted them. And I know there are certain challenges that can come with that increased visibility. And there's also some great benefits that can come with that as well. So I would just love to hear your take on that and your personal experience with how you've navigated kind of being more in the public eye with the growth of your business.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when you grow, the great thing is you get a lot of heavy feedback pretty quickly through reporting. So as far as like the product and the knowledge I have on different things, you know, I'm able to log into the back end of our website at any moment and see where people are shopping, what they like, you know, what they're being drawn to, which obviously impacts the next collection of designs a little bit. So I think that, you know, that's a really big plus, is having the knowledge of just a lot more people shopping. And then as far as like, you know, how it's affected me personally, I think that it's really an interesting thing as a company grows, because, you know, now I'm almost 17 years into this, which is crazy to think about. Yeah, it's been a long time since I started. And my life has definitely changed. But the thing is, I really love being involved, like closely with a lot of elements in the company. And I think it's important that I've held on to that, because a lot of people that start companies, I think once they get bigger, they kind of like disappear a little bit, and, you know, they're not as involved. And I really think it's important, because the company is so much a part of me, and the passion that I have for everything, I think really impacts the culture and the team around me. And I do think that, you know, a lot of my team is loyal because they get to work with me directly, you know, like on a daily basis. I mean, pretty much everybody in the leadership role pretty much talks to me at least weekly, you know? And so I think that makes them more motivated and more excited, because they're literally working with the founder of the company. And I think that a lot of other companies, you know, the founder or whatever is so far away from, you know, the operations of the business. And I just think that it makes people not care quite as much, you know? I mean, sure, they do for a while, but then after a year or two, whatever, they might be over it. I mean, I have a lot of people that have been with me for, you know, 8 years is like the average of most of my leadership, 7 to 8 years. And then beyond that, I have people that have been with me since the very beginning. You know, so I have a lot of strong leadership that have been in the company a long time, and they're basically my friends now too. Yeah. So I think that, you know, staying close to the company is important. And people are a lot of time pretty like surprised to hear that I still design every single garment, which is crazy, but I actually love designing. And so I really set aside time where I'm not, because I'm running the company, I'm the president of the company, but I also design every single thing. Amazing. And so it's pretty crazy, but that's like the fun part. And really, you know, the more like, that's what gets me excited the most, is the designing and coming up with the new collections and stuff. So I think that if I ever let go of that, then I wouldn't be as excited about the company. And for me, it's just artwork, you know, it's like I get to do a new set of artwork every couple of months. And so I'm constantly being creative and designing. And I think that that keeps me excited. And then really like just figuring out the lifestyle of how to like have a balanced life, you know, as the company grows, because sure, like it takes up literally all of my brain power if I let it, you know. And I think that the last couple years, I would say I've put more focus on my personal life, and that has actually been really good for work, because I think that I needed that. For a while, I was just like nonstop. I was totally a workaholic, like working till like 10 or 11 at night, like almost every day. It was nuts. And that might've been what was needed, you know, in the beginning for sure. But now being able to delegate and like have more time to my personal life, and you know, I work from home most of the time. I'm in Austin now. I'm closer to my family. My brother lives here. I get to see my nephews and go to their baseball games. And you know, I really try to put more focus on my family time and just really, you know, taking care of myself and you know, just doing all the things that like regular humans do. You know, it's like, for a while, I really wasn't doing that. I was only focused on Aviator Nation. And I think when you get further along, you have to, or you're going to get burnt out. You know, you have to find that balance of enjoying your life and hanging out with your friends and seeing your family, but still staying on top of your work. And so that's kind of where I'm at now, is just really trying to stay on top of the things that are important and prioritize my time with work, and then being able to step away and stop work at 7 o'clock at night and feel good about it. you know? Yep. And so, yeah, so I feel pretty balanced now, but it took the last couple of years of really kind of like figuring that out, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think that that is a challenge that a lot of founders and entrepreneurs can face, especially if you're extremely passionate about your business and you love it. It doesn't then feel like work. It's like you're an extension of you and what you've created and things that you love. And so that like separation can be a little bit blurry. And I love talking about work-life integration, which I think is really helpful for people who have careers that they're really passionate and excited about, where it's like trying to include those other activities into the workday, like taking breaks to be with family or going for a walk or seeing friends and then getting some work done and then doing something else that's not work-related, you know, and trying to navigate that in your own unique way so that each day you're able to kind of fill up your cup in all these different areas of your life. But I would love to hear a little bit what's worked for you as far as boosting your creativity, because you have such a creative job. I mean, that's what you're doing a lot of the time. What you're saying is like creating these new clothing, and every 2 months you said you're kind of putting out new stuff. So how do you stay creative? Like what works for you to boost that creativity?
You know, I find I get really creative when I'm in nature. It's mm-hmm. interesting, but it's something as simple as like mountain biking. I like to mountain bike a lot. And if I go out on a bike ride, I almost always come back with like 5 ideas in my head, you know? And now I actually get to live on the lake here in Austin. I surf and, you know, so being out in nature, for some reason, that really like just kind of opens my mind. I would say that's really important. Also traveling this summer, I went to Europe for 5 weeks, which was cool. I'd never been to Europe, so it was the first time. And but traveling in different countries and stuff has always been fun for me. In the past, I've done a lot of trips to like surf destinations and scuba diving. And I think that, again, you know, seeing fish and being inspired by the colors of the fish, you know, like there are definitely a lot of times that I've been inspired by an animal, fish, Africa travel. I came back wanting to do all this animal stuff when I went with my mom to Africa. And so I think it's important to get out of the office, you know, like you can't just be sitting in the office all the time. I never look at trend reports. I know a lot of fashion people do that, but again, like I didn't go to school for fashion. It wasn't my like, professional training. So for me, it's more about looking inside and being like, what do I want to wear right now? You know, and I'm sure that I'm influenced by what's going on around me, but I think a lot of times it's like a cool sports car that I saw on the side of the road or, you know, or like a wild animal that had like a cool color combination or, you know, it's just like so random, but it does like I get inspired pretty often. And a lot of times it's because I'm surrounded by nature. I try to keep myself. That was one of the reasons why I moved to Austin. Like in LA, I was starting to struggle a little bit with like the whole concrete thing and just feeling like, I mean, I love Venice. It's amazing, but, you know, I think you have to mix it up and you have to change your environment times. And I spend a lot of time in Austin and then I spend a lot of time in Colorado too.
Oh,
so I'm trying to be surrounded by nature a lot.
I absolutely love that. And I resonate so much with what you just said, because very similar for me. If I feel stuck or if I'm like not sure what to do about a certain thing, or if I'm just feeling stressed, getting outside, I always come back feeling better. And then the whatever problem I felt like I was trying to deal with, it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal when I come back. It's like, or something that I totally didn't think of will be like, oh, that's great. It's a great solution. Or why didn't I think of that? But it's always like stepping away and getting outside. And then I can come back and with trips and all of that, like just getting away for a little bit, I think is so important. Where a lot of times there's this like internal pressure that we can create for ourselves of like, we've got to figure it out, or we got to push through it, when really what we probably need in those situations is like hit the pause, go do something else, get outside, take a break. And then like the solution will present itself. Right.
For sure. And the energy you have, you know, when you come back from something like that. And I try to really protect my energy. I think that's, it just kind of came to my mind that I was thinking, you know, I'm not very creative when I'm tired, you know, I'm more creative when I have the energy. And I think that it's important to protect that, you know, and really focus on things that don't drain your energy, but like build you up. And obviously travel and doing fun things, you know, is the best way to fill that up. But yeah, I mean, if I'm exhausted and stressed, like I can't be creative. So I have to do stuff that I love. And I have to get out and, you know, spend time in nature for sure.
100%. Well, Paige, I would love to hear at this point, we're kind of coming towards the end. Any fun new things in the works? Anything you want to share about Aviator Nation? And then also, where can people find it? Like, where would be the main places? And I'll put links to all this stuff in the episode details as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. There's a lot coming. Specifically, I've been designing like a crazy person, and we have a lot of new product dropping. We will be dropping a new collection every single week.
From
now through the holidays. So we have it all scheduled out, and there's just so many new things. I'm doing these really rad denim jackets with all these cool embroideries and stuff on them. So that will be dropping. I'm excited about. We have all kinds of new sweatsuits, new designs, stuff that's totally different than what we've done before, lots of new outerwear. And I'm working on some other lifestyle products. I'm designing shoes right now, which is really exciting. Yeah, so we're hoping to launch that in the spring. So that will be fun. Cool. I've always been really into high tops and sneakers and stuff. So that's exciting. And then we're doing a whole new swimwear collection as well. I'm designing that. So lots of products. Yeah. And then we're actually going to do a pop-up this, this is the first time I've talked about it because I just signed the papers this morning. So, very exciting. I'm doing a pop-up in New York City in Soho. Wow. So, we will be opening that. I think, I'm not sure the exact date. I think December 2nd, and that will go for, I think 2 weeks, maybe 3 weekends, something like that. So, for all the East Coasters, definitely follow us on social media. We'll be announcing all the details there. But excited about some pop-ups. We are opening a store in Nashville as well. That's under construction. I'm thinking probably late spring, early summer for that. But I'm excited to get on the East Coast. And it's the first time, you know, we've ever done something, for an extended period of time there. So that'll be fun.
Very cool. I'm going to have to tell my brother-in-law. He lives in New York. Give him a heads up.
Perfect. So
he's in Brooklyn.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And I love Brooklyn. I love Williamsburg. So
So
the spots in Soho. So that'll be fun. But I do think eventually doing something, you know, in Brooklyn would be cool too, for sure.
Amazing. Well, Paige, we are coming towards the end. I'm going to do a couple of fun questions for a wellness lightning round. Before that, anything else you'd like to share?
Just, you can find us, obviously aviatornation.com is the website, and we have most of our product there. We're also sold in Bloomingdale's and Nordstrom and other boutiques around the country. I think that we have some of that on our website. All of our retail stores are listed on our website. We have, you know, like I said, 16, 17 with Nashville brick and mortar. So come see us in person or shop on our website, and then you can follow us on aviatornation.com at aviatornation or at Paige Mikoski if you want to see what I'm up to.
Perfect. And I'm going to put all that in the episode details. So you can just go on there, episode details, click that and follow Paige, follow Aviator Nation. You can check out all of the different details there. So thank you, Paige. And a couple fun questions before we end. The first one that I have is, are there any habits right now that you're trying to break free of, or any habits, healthy habits you're trying to create for yourself?
Right now, I am really into the cold plunge. I'm getting back. I did it a while back and now I'm back into it, and I have a pool and it's freezing because it's been cold here lately. Yeah. So I've started doing that at night, and honestly, like, it makes me sleep so much better.
Does it? Yeah. We live close to the lake, and I'll go out there. Like, I'll have my jacket on, I'll have my hat on, I'll have my gloves on days where it's really cold. And we have the like cold plungers. There's like a group that they'll go and they'll be wearing these big mittens, and then they'll be in their swimsuits. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine doing that. So the last question that I have for you, Paige, is, knowing what you know today, what, if any, advice would you have given to yourself from 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
And I'm sure there's a lot. It's like, don't feel like, you know, whatever comes to mind.
I mean, gosh. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. So I would probably say just really just soak it up. Like, don't be afraid to stop and smell the roses. Like, you know, like, everything's happening really fast and it's exciting. But take those moments to sit back and be like, wow, look what I'm doing, you know, and just like, just like really enjoy it and just, you know, pump yourself up and don't, because, you know, it's been a stressful ride. I can't pretend it hasn't been stressful. And I think that, you know, just really just being like, wow, like this is awesome that I'm getting to do this right now. I think that just do that more, I think.
I love it. Well, Paige, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. I love what you're doing and I'm so happy we were able to connect. Thanks for taking some time with me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I absolutely loved sharing these insights with you. If you have a moment, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review about what you loved about this episode. Leaving reviews helps this show gain visibility so those who can benefit from it can gain access to it. Thank you so much for your support. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, inspiring you to awaken your ultimate potential. Now for a disclaimer, the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified health professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions regarding your specific health, your sleep patterns, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. Always consult your physician before taking any medications, any over-the-counter drugs, any supplements, vitamins, or herbs, and consult your physician before starting any new lifestyle programs. All information, views, and statements shared on the Live Greatly podcast are purely the opinions of the authors. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. They have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Opinions of guests are their own, and Crystal Bauer and this podcast do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. Neither Crystal Bauer nor this podcast takes any responsibility for possible health consequences of a person or persons following the information in this educational content. Always consult your physician for recommendations specific to you. If any product mentioned in this podcast has been received from the manufacturer or public relations team for that product with the express intent of editorial consideration, the product will be identified as such. A product for which Live Greatly receives some form of compensation for promoting will be identified as such.